Well, guys, this morning we're finishing up our dating series. Hopefully you guys have had some awesome conversations. I've heard there have been. And so to close it out, I want to tell you a story of dating, and it's my story of dating. And so here's a little guy and his girlfriend. This is a junior in high school, Harrison. That's my girlfriend named Hunter. We went blueberry picking and stopped at Cracker Barrel, where all high school couples do. So romantic. That's me, baby-faced. Our relationship continued. We were homecoming king and queen, which was a ton of fun. There's another pic of that. Shows baby-faced Harrison. This is why I wear a beard, because I look like I'm nine. If I don't, I still do. So that relationship continued. We graduated high school. We went into college. I dated this woman for 5.5 years. Way too stinking long. I'll tell you that right now. Don't date someone for that long. But I got the privilege of getting to continue to know her. And then finally, after a while, I came to my senses and I said, this woman needs to be my wife. And so I decided to plan an engagement, and I did what any guy would do. I went and bought a 100-year-old piano, and I had it hauled out into the middle of the forest, and I hired a tuner to come and tune the piano. I learned some songs. I hit a generator out there and hung up a chandelier and some other lights. And I faked her that we were going to a bonfire, told her that a bunch of friends were out there. I walked her out there, clapped my hands. This whole scene turned on. There's a picture of us. I told her that I loved her. I played a couple songs for her on the piano, got down on one knee. I asked her to marry me. She said yes, which is amazing. And then this journey of dating then became, we were then planning to be married. And I tell you that because that was a long time for me. That was 5.5 years. That was a very long journey. Now, that was my journey. I met her at 17. Our buddy Sean is getting married in 5 days. He met his wife when he was 28 or 29. We're all at a different part of the journey. But that didn't just start for me at 17. That didn't just start for John. Sean. That didn't just start for Sean at 28 or 29. That journey started probably where you are right now, which is right about here. That's 13-year-old Harrison. On the bus to Sky Ranch, just like you guys have been. And why I tell you that is because the journey is right now. You're on it. You're on this journey where you're trying to navigate, like me, of, okay, how do I conduct myself into relationships? What does that look like? Should I date? Who do I date? Who should she be? She's hot. I want her. We're all having these conversations, and so did I, but really not in the way that we want to ask you guys to. So here's what I want you guys to think through this morning. This dating thing, this life thing we're going through, it is a journey, and you're somewhere on it. And in dating, the destination's marriage. In the context of dating that we've been talking about this month, the end goal, where you are going, is to be married. And depending on the part of your life, you're at a different spot in that journey, but dating is to get to marriage. Another way of saying that is the purpose of dating is for marriage. Let me give you some statistics, because we're going to dive into a couple things here too. But some things that I want you to think about while we're talking about this, to frame it, okay? The average age, this survey was done a couple years ago, so this might even be outdated. The average age of someone getting married today is 26.5 years old. So let's assume that you're 13. That's some of you in here. That's 13.5 years from now. That's a whole other lifetime that you've lived that you might be married. That's crazy. That's a long time. That's a lot of navigating and figuring out the journey. I had to do it. Sean had to do it. You'll have to do it. So how do we do it in a way that honors God? That's what we want to help you think about. Another statistic that I want you to think of as we go into this. I have a story of a high school sweetheart. That's not everybody's story. I have this fun thing that I get to look back on. That worked out for me. It might work out for you. It might not. Out of everyone who gets married, 2% of marriages are between people who met in high school. 2%, not out of 10%, not out of 6%, out of 100% of marriages, 2% of them met in high school. Not even just started dating in high school. That's probably even smaller for those that are in junior high. Don't know. Why do I tell you that? Because this is a journey that you're on. This is a journey that we are trying to figure out together. And there's an answer that God has for you in His Word. We talked about this the last couple weeks. The Scripture does not speak specifically to dating. It doesn't tell you who you should date, when you should date, what it looks like. But it does give us principles and wisdom that we are to walk in. And God has a plan for what we are to do. And He tells us it from the beginning. So if you got your Bibles, open to Genesis 1. We're going to see right at the beginning of the story that God gave us, right at the beginning of the world, in the first people, we see what God's plan for these feelings that we have between a man and a woman is. Genesis 2, if you got it. If you don't, we'll throw it on the screen, starting in verse 21. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. God's created the earth and everything in it, and He said that it was good. And on the last, on the sixth day, He created man and saw that there was something missing. So He put him in a sleep. While he slept, He took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, He made into a woman. And He brought her to the man. And the man said, "This is at last bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." And this is the verse that gets really important. Verse 24, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." From the beginning of creation, God intended man and woman not to just exist together and not to just go on little fun milkshake dates and not to just say we're boyfriend and girlfriend and I like you and maybe I'll just have 80 different girlfriends throughout my life. God intended commitment. That verse that's in there, this is a verse that's read at weddings, one flesh. It is saying exactly what you think it's saying in the physical sense, but even more than that, there is a oneness that happens physically, spiritually, emotionally that God intended that we play around with in different ways and think that we're fulfilling that in just dating. But guys, God's purpose, the destination, the purpose of dating is for marriage, for oneness, for unity. And God calls it good, and it is amazing. And it doesn't just speak about it in Genesis. It's not just this Old Testament thing. It speaks of it all throughout the Scripture. Jesus talks about it in Matthew 19 and in Mark 10. Paul talks about it in Ephesians 5, speaking of the glory of marriage and how God intended that for this oneness and unity. But again, it's a journey you're on that's probably many, 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 many years from now. Probably at the very least, it's like 5 or 6 years from now. For most of you, it will be 13 plus years from now. Whoa. What do I do? How do I navigate that? Here's what I want you to think of. Something to put in perspective. Every interaction you have with someone else in relationships will affect your future marriage. Every interaction you have with somebody, if you're a guy that's a girl, or you're a girl that is a guy, it will affect your future marriage, your future relationship with your spouse. If marriage is the destination in our dating analogy, then there are steps to get there. An analogy that breaks down, but an illustration I want you to think through, is if on spring break you're going on a trip this month. Maybe you're going to the beach with your family. You're driving to Destin. Or maybe you're going skiing and you're driving to Beaver Creek, Colorado with your family. Whatever you're doing, where are you going? You're going to Haiti, okay? But what's in that analogy, where are you going? If we're going to the beach, where are we going? We're going to the beach. You don't go on a road trip to go stop at Love's and see what kind of new trinkets you can get on sale. You don't go on a vacation to go, hey, let's check out Buc-ee's. I hear they got great beef jerky and really clean bathrooms. It's going to be awesome. They do. But that's not the reason you go on this trip. That's not the destination. If you do stop somewhere, don't stop at Love's. Stop at Buc-ee's. You will thank me later. If you've never been, it's worth going. But when you look back on the vacation, the whole point is, wow, we just spent a week in Destin as a family, not, man, Bucky's was cool. It's a blip on the map. But guys, those stops affect your destination. If you're trying to get to Destin by X day on X time, if you stop at all the Bucky's across the country, you won't get there with enough time to enjoy it. Every interaction you have, every time you stop, every time you date somebody, that affects your future relationship. Another way of saying that is this. Anytime you interact with someone from the opposite sex, opposite gender, you are interacting with someone else's spouse. And statistically, probably, they're not yours. I'm not talking even just dating, but even like if you're a guy sitting next to a girl, or you sit someone next to someone in physics class, whoever that is, that might be someone else's spouse. Probably is. And so how are you treating them? And then even more so if you're in a dating relationship, how are you treating them? Because again, the destination's marriage. That's why we're going on this. Not to feel better about ourselves, not to fill this void that we think that some other person is going to satisfy us. The purpose of dating is for marriage. And one day, that day will come. It did for me. And it's a lot of fun. And it is a really cool thing to just show you. Who's been to a wedding before? Some people, not all. They made a little video for my wedding. And I'm going to show it to you so you can see how awesome that day is. Here's my wedding.
I like your messy hair. I like the clothes you wear. I like the way you sing. And when you dance with me.
Ready, set, here we go.
I don't know why I love you. I just know I can't stop thinking of you. Oh, wait. It's cause you make me smile. You always make me smile. Woo! I like that rainbow pair of gym shoes that you wear. I like the chance you take. I like the mess you make. I don't know why I love you. I just know I can't stop thinking of you. Oh, wait. It's cause you make me smile. You always make. I like that rainbow pair of gym shoes that you wear. I like the way you sing and when you dance with me. I like the face you make
and when you dance with me.
I like the rules you break
and when you dance with me.
I like the cake you bake
and when you
dance with me. I like the chance you take, so won't you dance with me? I don't know. Just know I can't stop thinking of you. Oh, wait. It's cause you make me smile. You always make me smile. I don't know why I love you. I just know I can't stop thinking of you. Oh, wait. It's cause you make me smile.
So that was an amazing day for me and a fun day to reflect on. And someday God might have that for you. So this morning, as weird as it is, 13 years or whatever it is for you, I want you to think about marriage this morning. So if you need to look at the screen for inspiration, if you need to close your eyes, I want you to think about marriage. And more than just the wedding day, I have that excitement because of who I got to marry. Because of not just this amazingly beautiful hot bride that I have, but because of who she is. And so I want you to think of not just the wedding day, but who you will be marrying. Because your spouse is somewhere out there. And they may be sitting in here, but probably not. They may be going to church, maybe, maybe not. They might be a believer, they might not be. What do you think they're like? What do you think they look like? Imagine what they're doing right now. And here's what I want you to think. In the relationships they are in, how do you want that person to be treated? What do you want some guy to be doing when he's with her? What do you want some girl to be talking about when she's with this future mate of yours, this spouse out there someday? How would you feel about the relationship that he or she is in? Because guys, that matters. Statistically, whoever you're around right now isn't your spouse, but they're someone else's. And so it matters whether we're dating them or just friends with them, how we treat one another, because that's somebody's future spouse. At the end of March, I get to go to a friend's wedding named Matt, who dated my wife before I did, and I am so thankful for how he treated her with love, with respect, and kindness, and in purity. And I get to celebrate his marriage, God's best for him and his bride, because God had my best for my bride that wasn't his bride. But he treated her with respect along the way. And so some things I want you to think through in the context of dating or any relationship, ways when we're interacting with someone of the opposite gender, how I want you to interact with them, how God's word calls us to interact with them, things to allow. Respect, purity, friendship. These are good things. These are godly qualities. These are things that will make a person better. Whether you're dating them or friends with them, that person will leave better because they interacted with you. And things that I want to ask you guys to avoid, that God asks us to avoid: romance, allowing our heart to be given to someone. Song of Solomon says, do not awaken love before its proper time, because it can be dangerous. Physical affection, you might desire it, but it becomes very confusing and it becomes very harmful very quickly, especially with someone who's not your spouse. Or heartache. If you allow yourself to go somewhere and then that's broken and you're shattered because you thought she was the one, he was the one. Let's treat each other with respect, purity, and friendship, and avoid some of the others, because it matters. And I get to sit with couples because I'm a pastor. I get to stand with them and do weddings with them. And I get to see the joys of those who have walked in purity and in righteousness and who stumble along the way, but who get to go, this is my bride. I can't wait to give myself to her. Or couples who have to stand there and tell of their past and walk through that hurt and walk through that heartache again. It's real. And so me and your leaders want to point you to the truth in God's word for God's best in your life. Because guys, in dating, marriage is the destination. That's the end goal. That's where you're going. But I don't want you walk out of here thinking, going, okay, well, all I have to do now is to prepare for wedding, because that's, or prepare for marriage. That's the most important thing in my life. No, it's not. God's best for you may not to be married, may to be single. That doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. That doesn't mean that God's trying to rip you off. There are leaders who love God for years who walk with us and lead your group who aren't married and may never be. And to God be the glory. Marriage is a beautiful thing, a wonderful thing. But it isn't a promise for everyone. It's just a reflection of God's love for us in a way that we get to reflect that to the world. In dating, marriage is the destination. In life, abundant life in Jesus is the destination. The goal of growing up and being a good Christian and being a man or woman of God is not to be married. It's to love Jesus and show that you're married to him, that you have given your life to him because he has given your life to you. Hosea 2:19. I don't have it open, but it'll be on the screen. 19 through 20. This is God speaking to his people Israel, and I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in steadfast love and in mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. This is God's promise, his pursuit, his unending love for us. Way more than a marriage could ever give you. Way more than our earthly thinking of love could satisfy. God loves us and pursues us. And we as Gentiles are grafted into this promise to Israel where God says, I betroth myself. Basically, I'm engaged with you. I promise to be in love with you forever. I am yours and you're mine. And these promises of I will give you right things and righteousness, and I will do good things and justice, and I will love you forever, unending. And at the end, you shall know the Lord. Guys, this is the same way it talks about as a man and woman know each other, intimately, physically, sexually. Meaning, the oneness that we see in a marriage is a picture and a reflection of the intimacy that God desires to have with us. Far beyond what we can comprehend physically, God invites us to know him and to be loved by him. I was reading the Jesus Storybook Bible with my son. If you have never read one of these, if you don't have one of these, you should get it. Because it's not just a children's story. It is an unbelievably deep theological picture in a simple way of God's continued pursuit of you throughout his word and throughout your life. And right after the story of the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve are kicked out. This is what is said. Before it goes on the next thing, this is what we see God say to his children. You see, no matter what, in spite of everything, God would love his children with a never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. And though they would forget him and run from him, deep in their hearts, God's children would miss him always and long for him, lost children, yearning for their home. We have a God who loves us and is crazy about us, is crazy about you more than you could ever understand. More than any husband pursuing his bride. It says that God will come back for us. Jesus will return, the groom coming for his bride, the church, to bring us home. Regardless of what we've done, regardless how much we run from him, and you and I do it all the time, he says, you are my beloved, and you're mine. And I will never stop loving you. I will never give up on you. Guys, that's the reflection of marriage. That's how important God places marriage. And because marriage is that important, that's how important dating is. It's not just this thing that we do to satisfy us. It's not just this thing that we look like we're in control or we're in the popular crowd or we're not just this loser that can't date. No, it's super important because everyone we interact with along the way affects our future relationship and marriage with our spouse. And so at a wedding, what happens, what Sean and Emily will do Friday is they will stand there and they will make a covenant before God. Not just a ceremony, not just a ritual, but they will stand there and promise to one another in a reflection of God's promise for us how they will love each other. My wife and I, we keep a picture of those vows in our bedroom to remind us this is what we promised. Regardless of what we feel, regardless of what we think, this is what we say would happen. This is what we promise to each other. It says, I take you, my beloved. That's the same word that's said in Song of Solomon of two lovers to one another. That's the same word that God says of his people, my beloved. I am my beloved and my beloved is mine. I take you, my beloved, to be my lawfully wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better or for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish all the days of my life. It's a pretty serious promise. That's a promise that you are giving yourself to someone for the rest of your life. That is a covenant with them that's very serious. And guys, for many of you, that's the destination. And every relationship up to that, it matters. If you decide to date or not, that matters as you embark on the journey and walk in wisdom. Because when you're on the journey, every turn, every stop, every decision you make affects where you're going and how you get there. But even more than that, guys, not just preparing for marriage and not just wondering if I should date or not, we want to remind you that God is relentlessly pursuing you. This covenant that some people will stand and make with one another, that might be a part of God's best for you, but God's best is you dwelling in intimate relationship with him, and that's open and free for all of us because of Jesus and his grace and what he did on the cross. And so, church, bride of Christ, let's love him. And in the meantime, let's love one another and help each other be better men and better women and better spouses for whoever and whatever God has for us in the future. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for marriage. I thank you for the beauty that it is. I thank you that it's even better than what the movies portray. I thank you that it is real, and I thank you that for believers in Jesus Christ, it is centered upon who you are and the relationship that you have covenanted to have with us. So, Lord, first and foremost, may we understand that we are loved by the Creator God. And then, Lord, may we conduct ourselves with other guys and other girls in a way with love and respect and cherish one another, so that we do not harm one another for future relationships, but better one another to help them become the man or the woman that they will someday stand before their bride or groom and make that promise to. Lord, we love you. Thank you that you care for us. You care for our feelings, that you don't just cast it out and go, you shouldn't do it this way, or you should do it this way. But Lord, you invite us into this conversation. May we walk in wisdom so that we can better glorify you and make your name known. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you guys. Have an awesome day. We'll see you next week. Happy spring break if you're on it.